All right. Welcome back. Episode 35.
Let's do it.
No Jeremy and no Keith. No.
Nope.
Uh-oh.
The young crowd.
Yep.
No old folks.
Zero.
Let's not screw it up today.
I like it.
Hopefully they don't listen to that intro. Yeah. Anyways, but we have Lisa Schreiber back and David Ament.
Hello, hello.
How's everybody doing?
Good.
Good.
Never better.
We got snow. It's cold.
It's almost Christmas time.
Snow. Right. We get in the spirit.
Yep.
The question is the snow going to stay?
Probably. I don't know. I mean, it's getting real cold this week, right? So.
Well, I think this weekend is supposed to be a little warmer again.
Oh, okay. Maybe. But
it's a cold.
Last
December,
year we had like green Christmas.
Yeah, I don't like that.
No.
That's not gross. Good.
I'd love having snow for Christmas.
As soon as January 15th comes, though, the snow's got to go.
Yeah, right.
As soon as Christmas is over,
the festive spirit is over, it's got to go.
All right. So episode 35.
Yep.
So I tried to choose some famous players from different sports this time. So we got basketball. We've got Kevin Durant.
Slim Reaper.
Yep. Yogi Berra wore 35 in his rookie season.
I didn't know
that. I have to preface that because Jeremy's going to yell at me if I don't preface that because he didn't actually wear 35 for most of his career.
He's the sports aficionado.
Yes, he is.
Of the group. Yep.
Justin Verlander, who Lisa actually knew.
Yes, I do. Because it's like he is or was, I don't know if he's retired yet or not, the star pitcher for the Houston Astros, which is the favorite team of my husband. The favorite baseball team after the Twins, of course, right? Yeah. And so, I saw a few.
How does that work? Being from Austria, you just come into the U.S. and you're like, yep, that's the one
team.
I want. Yep.
The winning team at the time.
That's my favorite team.
The interesting thing, he followed baseball for quite a while before we moved here.
Okay.
But I think it was after his first visit to the U.S. And I think that was like the first team or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And since then, he followed the Houston Astros. But
Fair enough.
A matter of fact, like this year was the first time he actually he was in Houston for the first time. So there was no other connections. So it was probably a coincidence that he got a fan of the Houston Astros.
Yeah.
All right. And then I got to go with some hockey here too. Tony Esposito, who I'm guessing neither of you
know. No idea.
Which is why on our doc, I put in parentheses Chicago Blackhawk goalie. Just so you guys know. All right. Hot button topic today. We've had some pretty strong markets the last 2 years.
Yep.
And so we've actually had a back-to-back 20% plus years. Mm-hmm. And if things stand as is, this would be the third time that we've seen the second year performance is better than the first year's performance, which is interesting
when you
put that in context. But last year, 26%. This year, we're sitting at about 27
right now this morning.
So that's pretty good.
Do you guys think we'll see above 30 this year?
I think, could.
Historically, December's the best month
stocks. You get the Santa Claus rally people talk about. Do we have that? I don't know. I never really.
It wouldn't take much.
It's like a thing, but like you can't expect it to happen.
Yeah.
Right. So do I think it will happen? I mean, Lululemon just reported they had some pretty stellar numbers on inventory, which have always been issues. Uh-huh. So maybe that's signaling that consumers are.
And they had a pretty good reaction after they reported.
Yeah,
I guess.
16, 16,
and because
17%.
It's up 16, I assume you're not in it.
Yes. I said on the
predictor.
Podcast, that's one name I cannot get right. When I don't buy it in front of the quarter, it goes up 16%. When I do buy it in front of the quarter, it goes down 5.
Yep.
It's just the way,
it's the way the cookie crumbles.
Yeah.
Hey.
So do I think that could happen potentially? Just based on what Lululemon was giving in their numbers and recent quarter, maybe the consumer is going to keep spending and spend through what the expectation is. I think the average person is expected to spend like $1,000 this year on Christmas or on holiday gifts.
Yep.
So if they exceed that or there's the expectation that they're going to exceed that, then maybe you do get the.
So far this year too, consumer debt has just been blown out of the water and there's been no sign of stopping. So I could totally see that number being blown out.
Yeah. So we'll see, but I never count on it to happen.
Yep.
But that is a thing. And the other part of this that I wanted to bring up too was a chart from Yardeni who shows the different bull markets for the first 500 days mm-hmm. since 1966. And this was the third mm-hmm. best bull market mm-hmm. in the Crazy. First 500 days that we've had since 1966, which is yep. pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The two ones that were better was post-COVID and then post-Great Financial Crisis. Mm-hmm. So I guess not coming off of 2022 was kind of a bad year, right?
Yep.
I mean, markets were down 18%, bonds were down 13%, right? It yep. doesn't feel good, but it wasn't like a recessionary disaster that we saw in the quick snap of COVID, people getting laid off,
yep.
economy essentially shutting down, and then obviously yep. Great Financial Crisis,
yep.
the housing bubble, a lot of stuff happening through that. Mm-hmm. So the fact that we've had this good of a market, I think, for the last 2 years, and you guys can give me your opinion on it, but I think the last 2 years, the fact that it's the third best bull market for the first 500 days is pretty spectacular.
Mm. Yeah, I think when investors see that, or retail investors, you might think, okay, we have such a good run for 2 years now, like back to back over 20%.
Yep.
How much more is there in the cards, right? And maybe, you know, some investors get a little bit nervous because the third year can potentially be that great and waiting on the sidelines. But the interesting thing is the chart that you just mentioned, which especially looks at the third year after the yeah. first 2 year back-to-back minimum of 20% returns, that on average, the market in the third year after two such stellar years get like 12.3%.
Interesting.
Which is yep. pretty good, actually, after two like such great
Based
years.
Long-term average.
An average of 12.3% in the third year. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, the average bull market is what, 4 years, mm-hmm. 5 years, something mm-hmm. like that. So, you know, the fact that we're 2 years mm-hmm. in, you still on a statistical run, basis, yeah. you still have 2 to 3 years of this bull market mm-hmm. to keep going. Right.
Yep.
So to that point, it doesn't yep. mean that next year we have to have this disastrous yep. year but I think, and you guys put out a piece too, and it shows that on average markets correct about 10% every year, right?
Yeah.
I mean, do you guys think we're going to see that next year?
This year at the end of, what was it, July 16th through the 5th, we lost 8.3% yeah. as normal. And then everything ripped back. Yep. I think we could see a number of those. I think guarding some kind of exterior catalyst in the market, we probably will see pretty steady returns. Everybody at the beginning of this year was looking at Warren Buffett, you know what I mean, offloading like Bank of America, Apple.
Yeah.
And saw how much cash he was holding. And they thought that spelled some great warning sign for the economy. The economy is really good right now. There's no reason. People can point to valuations. People can point to debt, consumer debt. You know, as long as people keep spending, as long as GDP is positive, you know, earnings growth, what was 9.5 projection? For the end of 2024, looking at 15 for the end of next year.
Yeah.
Don't want to get ahead of myself here, but I think it could be choppy. But I think if you hold throughout the end of 2025, you'll probably be pretty happy with your results. Maybe not as happy as you were the past 2 years, but you know,
yeah,
it'll be decent. Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yes. To David's point, I think economically we are still in a very good spot. Like the labor market is still holding up very well. Inflation is, I mean, it's getting a little bit more choppy on the way down, I would say. What we saw, we just got new numbers today, with core inflation staying the same, but overhead inflation ticking up a little bit. So that is a risk factor that will probably also get bit more attention going into next year. And again, like economically overall very good, but there are risk factors out there. We have a change in administration, potential policy changes when we look at tariffs or tax cuts that could reignite inflation again.
Yeah.
So that is a risk factor.
Yep.
Again, the Fed trying to figure out where the neutral rate is, trying to keep that in the last home stretch, basically back to their magic 2%. And then we have some geopolitical risks out there. I mean, there's a lot going on in the world, right? Still.
A lot, yeah.
And especially when we look at tariffs and US-China relations with the change in administration, what we already heard, and there's nothing clear yet, mm-hmm. nothing implemented yet, but what we heard, probably the relations between US and China will be not that nice overall. So that is a risk factor. And then we have some other things that we do not see yet that can come as a surprise that probably will happen. And especially when there's a surprise and when the market gets surprised about something, it's normally not positive for the market in the first reaction.
Well, that's a good point. So markets have to hit new highs mm-hmm. to be where they are today, right? That's just the nature of you have to keep going up to be where we are, right? So I think this year we've set, what is it, like 58 new highs this year? And so we always get the question of, well, is the market going to go down next year with all of these different concerns that are going on?
Yep.
But I think at the end of the day, there's always concerns, right? Mm-hmm. Every year there's going to be concern. And a lot of them tend to be the same, right? We've had inflation for the last 4.5 years now.
Yep.
Or not 4.5, but 2 years, I guess I should say. Right, of that being a major concern and talking point. But we know that concern, right? The market knows that concern.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So for something like a COVID or GFC, or even going back further, 01, right? There's all these things that are surprises mm-hmm. that you can't model mm-hmm. in risk.
Yep.
Right. It's not these known things that are concerns. Mm-hmm. Yes, we watch those. And we have to understand the risks that we're taking and how those concerns are going to affect those positions in a portfolio.
Yep.
But it's the unknowns mm-hmm. that cause the major calamity, right? That's that's what you...
The sharp movements.
The black swan. It's called a black swan for a reason, right? Yep. So to that point, mm-hmm. there's always going to be those concerns, geopolitical risks all the time, because we're a globalized world at this point, right? So everything that happens, manufacturing is overseas, various different countries, tensions within that area is going to affect how companies do their business over there as well, right? So there's so many concerns that we can that anybody could go through, but those are known items.
Yep. Right?
And the market sees those and tends to say, we know how much risk this is going to cause, but companies are going to still do well regardless of that. So just my 2 cents.
I think too, if sentiment around AI starts to pull back and investors don't want to see as much CapEx spend on all these semiconductors and all that, and then if tariffs are sustained for a longer period of time, I think then you could see a larger pullback on some of the known issues.
Yeah.
But I completely agree. I think it's the exterior catalyst that will really cause a downturn. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So David, you brought up the market was expecting 9.5 this year, maybe at when all is said and done, maybe we get 9 or maybe we get 10%.
Yep.
Right now the market is expecting 15% for next year, right? And and the market's a forward-looking thing. So if we get 15%, will the market be strong?
Yeah, 100%. I think so. And
you don't think we're pulling any of that forward right now?
I think we are. But right, so take exterior events out of this, right? Take unknown unknowns. If GDP is as projected or positive,
which should grow at 2.2% as of now, the average is 1.8. So I think that's good.
If GDP is positive, I think you don't even need the 15. Now, when you say good market, you know what I mean? Do we mean another 25%?
Do you get the average 12% market if earnings come in at 15% growth?
I think we can expect that. Okay. Now, I think a lot of it, you're right, is pulled forward. But I think the investor for the last couple of years has not been worried about valuations. So why now? You see valuations. As long as there's health in the economy, I don't see a reason for a downturn in the market.
Yeah. If we get 15% earnings growth and the market goes up 12%, it means valuation's coming down because you're growing into it.
If people all of a sudden get scared of credit card debt, get scared of their mortgage debt. You know what I mean? Those are major issues that I think could cause everything to cause a little bit of a correction there. But I think we will see a healthy market if fundamentals remain strong.
Lisa, would you agree?
I agree overall. I think the 15% is a little bit too optimistic as well, to David's point. Yeah, analysts are normally coming in a little bit hot, and that kind of comes down a little bit as we progress through
the
year.
Let me ask you this. So if next year we don't get the 15%, mm-hmm. like let's say expectations come down to 10%, mm-hmm. do we still have a good market, or do you think it's a poor market?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that it does not imply that we are having like a bad year overall when it comes down a little bit. So I think if we come down from the 15% to the more lower double digit growth, I think that would be enough.
Okay.
That is still a little bit more than this year. So we are still growing year over year. And I think that could still be the basic of a good year, even if we come down a little bit from that, because overall, I think it is seen to be a little bit optimistic as well. So I think there's a little bit a wiggle room for adjustments before everything is. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Going into 2024, mm-hmm. we saw expectations for earnings growth were what, like 12%, mm-hmm. 11, 8%. Mm-hmm. And now we might see 9%.
A little bit.
And then the consensus growth for the S&P was not anywhere close to the 27% we're seeing.
Well, they're always going to target 8%.
They're always going to draw that 8 number.
Plus or minus 8%.
I don't think pessimism is a strategy when the markets are strong, when the economy is strong.
I think my opinion on this is I think we start to try to, the market tries to grow into the valuation. So if we come down, let's say the 15% turns into 10%, maybe you get a 6% market next year.
Yeah.
That way you start to grow into the valuation. You don't have to have this major meltdown.
Yep.
But I think it's going to be a choppy year.
Yeah.
I think you do see for sure 1 10% correction.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Potentially 2 would be my initial take on that. But we'll see. Have more thoughts on that.
How do you think this compares to 2017?
So it's interesting, right? Trump was obviously elected in 2016.
Yep.
A lot of tax laws were being thrown around. The current tax law was the one that was being discussed. And 2017 was a weird year to be in the business, because it felt like the market just went up 20 basis points or 50 basis points every day.
Yep.
And it just every day just slowly climbed higher. And you saw a down day and you're like, what's going on? So do I think that 2025 is going to be a repeat of 2017? Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's too much, as you said, there's a lot of concerns. There's a lot going on. I don't expect another 2017, at least right now I don't, but
I agree.
Yeah,
me neither.
All right.
Yeah.
So let's move on. So I have a, did you know? And this one actually shocked me a little bit. Lisa mm-hmm. brought this one up to me, and so I wanted to talk about it. So when we talk about the world as far as stocks,
yep,
I've always been under the impression, you know, 60% is U.S., anywhere between 50 to 60% is U.S. depending on the index. The rest is international, and you can break that up into developed and emerging.
Yep.
So Lisa sent this to me the other day. Right now, the MSCI World Index is currently 74% US, which is mind-blowing to mm-hmm. me. The next largest is Japan at 5%. Right? Then you start to get into the UK at 3, Canada at 3,
and all the others.
And then all the others. Like, international markets right now have no impact on mm-hmm. the world index, which is quite interesting. So, do you guys think that at some point this comes back down to 70, 65, 50? Like, do we normalize this at some point? Or, and we've talked about the differences between international markets mm-hmm. and US markets and technology mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. development, but does this normalize at some point, or do we just keep growing as a percentage of that pie?
I don't see that coming down, the percentage of the weight of the US, anytime in the future, to be honest.
Sure.
And to your point, and we discussed this in other episodes, has something to do with the different sector composition and how the companies are composed, the international markets and the S&P. And I think that just keeps on going.
Except
something else is happening in international markets, but then it must happen in so many different countries simultaneously, basically, and an uptick in all those sectors. I don't see that anytime soon, to be honest.
David?
Yeah, I agree. I think especially kind of in the immediate future, we're definitely seeing a more shift politically to kind of an American first mindset. I mean, the U.S. share of the stock market right now is almost 2.3x the GDP of the U.S., which is an all-time high. So that being said, there could be 10 years from now, we could go back down to 65, 60, 55. But I don't think, especially over the next 5-6 years, I don't think so. I think the companies here are so dominant. I think there's going to be a huge push to keep those companies here. I don't think these massive companies are going to lose a ton of market share. And I also don't see them going offshore.
Okay. Well, so here's an interesting question. And we have a resident expert on this that can answer it. My question to you, Lisa, is do Austrians invest 75% of their portfolio in the US and only 25% in international markets? That's question one. Question two is US considered international when you're living in Austria, or do you bucket out US and then international developed, local Austrian or Austria and then emerging markets? Like, how does
So
walk us through this, because I'm curious.
So like the typical, and I talk about the retail investor, like the average retail investor in Austria, is absolutely not investing 74% in the US stock market. Because Europeans, and especially Austrians, we're homebodies, right? And we're, I would say there is a strong home bias as well.
Okay.
And again, there's generational shift to more, you know, open and different asset classes as well. But the general retail investor, how I experience it, is a more home bias.
Do they have
person.
Any U.S. exposure?
Yes. They so do. I would say there is U.S. exposure, but not in that percentage.
Is it the majority? Is it like 40? Is it 50?
It's way less than that.
Really?
It's way less.
Would you advise somebody to bump it up to 50, 60%? What would you say?
I mean, it depends. I mean, and when we get into that, we have to start like way back, right? The whole investing, the way people invest in Austria is completely different than people invest in the US. So there's not as much in the stock market to begin with.
Okay.
So people are way more conservative, see it way differently than US investors to begin with. And when they invest in the stock market and it's more Germany, that's predominant, the investable universe with the DAX, that's the, because Austria is pretty small. We have like a stock market index, but that is basically on an international.
So the stocks that the Austrians own, is it mainly German companies?
Yes, I would say mainly German, Austrian companies as well, but mainly German and Europe as a whole. Okay. But I would say strongly German. So that is where they kind of focus on. When we talk about the S&P 500, they talk about the German stock market index, I would say. And there's exposure to the US, but not as much, not nearly that. And
so then when you guys are breaking out like exposures, like here we have US, we've got international developed, which is Europe, Japan. And then you've got emerging markets, which is Mexico, China, those kinds of countries, India. How do you guys keep US separate from international? Or is U.S. wrapped into international? So when you're comparing like a world index, international is 98% versus Austria.
So I think...
Does that make
more
sense?
Than that? You know, it makes 99.5%?
Because, you know, when you live in Austria, like it gets international pretty fast. Yeah. I said that in prior episodes, right? We have a very small...
About 30 minutes.
Like, So I would say... Germany technically is also international. France, Italy, that is already international. But I would say there is a difference in how people see that compared to the US. So yes, international.
So they would say probably like Europe is local.
Yes.
Current.
Yes.
And rather than saying I invest in Austria, I invest in Europe, and that's their US.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I would say it's different. And when you see what technically would be international for people over there and what is how they see international, right? Yeah. Like US is pretty much international and pretty much seen differently than
But they don't break out US, international, and then home, Europe, and then emerging markets. US is wrapped into the international.
Yeah, generally, like theoretically, yes.
Okay.
But that's not how people see it.
Okay.
Right. Generally, it is international.
Yep.
Overseas, yes. But that's not how people feel it and how people do it and how people invest. But generally, the MSCI world, when we see it like as an index, I heard way more about that when I lived in Austria than here, that people invest in the MSCI world or see that as a kind of as their world allocation.
Huh.
And here it's more like, and US investors are homebodies as well.
Yeah.
Your home
probably
universe is way more bigger, right?
Yeah.
But US investors, generally speaking,
US investors say, why invest in international markets?
Correct. Yeah. Exactly so right. It's not only Europeans that are homebodies, also the US, but it's a little bit different in the growth and in the size. I think, again, MSCI World is seen as the allocation for international. But they would not say, okay, 74% of that should go to the US. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Like the average retail investor does not see international in the way the theory would see it. Yeah.
All right. So last segment here, we'll do spaghetti wall. and we'll do this or that. We'll try to have some fun with it here. All right. So we'll start with winter activities. This or that, snowball fight or sledding?
Lisa? I love me a good snowball fight.
Okay.
So yeah, snowball fight.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'd have to go with sledding. I love sledding. Get some ramps in there.
We can do a snowball fight while sledding. That's not mutually exclusive.
Yeah. Building a snowman or making snow angels?
Snowman.
I'm a snowman guy.
Snowman.
I love making snow angels.
Snow angels. All right. Ice skating or skiing?
Skiing.
Ice skating? Really?
Ice skating. Hockey. I got it.
You're biased.
More Minnesota thing.
And, David, like downhill skiing?
Downhill skiing.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep.
Not cross country?
There's a really good cross country course close to where I grew up back home. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no.
Yep.
No. All right.
Downhill.
I grew up doing cross country skiing rather than downhill.
That's right.
Yeah. Staying indoors with hot chocolate or venturing out into the snow?
I would say a little bit of mix of both.
It's this or that. You can't do and.
I have to do all winter, just one of the two.
The question isn't and or.
Okay. Excuse me, Tyler. Then I stay indoors with a hot cocoa.
Okay.
Venturing out.
I'm venturing into the snow. As much as I love hot cocoa, I'll venture into the snow.
Okay.
Yep. All right. Yep. Winter treats, hot chocolate or apple cider?
Again, I have to decide.
Yes.
Because it's not and, it's or. It's
or.
Okay. I take apple cider then.
Okay.
Give me the hot chocolate.
I'm going apple cider on this one. Eggnog or mulled wine?
Well, I have to take eggnog, which I don't like either, but hot alcohol has some weird influence on me, so no.
Okay.
David. Care to expand, Lisa?
Let's not expand.
No, eggnog.
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 Eggnog. I actually have some in my fridge right now. I love it.
It at home or at work?
At home.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Eggnog's good.
Candy canes or chocolate truffles?
I take chocolate truffles.
Chocolate truffles.
I'm not a big peppermint candy cane.
It's kind of hard to eat.
Yeah.
It gets sticky.
Yeah. I'm going chocolate.
We're already old. We, you know, we have to take care of
ourselves. That's exactly right.
All right. Winter fashion, beanie or earmuffs?
Beanie.
Beanie.
Beanie. Slippers or boots?
Boots.
I did see that one coming.
I'm going to go boots.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, slippers. During the winter,
you're alone with this.
Anytime I'm home and have to like go to the grocery store or the tool store or whatever,
I've got soggy slippers.
Yeah, I get new slippers every year. They're like $12 from Target.
Oh, discount king.
All right.
I don't hate that.
Winter weather, light snowfall or big snowstorm?
light snowfall. Like, how weird is the other?
Give me a big choice. Snowstorm, and oh then my you God. Can stay in.
I'm a big snowstorm.
And then
snowstorm.
You got a nice ski hill at the end of it.
Yeah. Oh
my God. Yep.
Crispy, sunny winter day or cloudy and snowy?
Crisp, sunny winter day. Crisp, and like crisp, doing but, a but nice the crisp, walk outside.
The crisp, sunny day has to have snow on the ground.
Yes, right. Yeah. That's correct.
I want the crunch, yep. the crunchy yep. snow
yeah.
too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Frosty mornings or snowy evenings?
Snowy evenings.
Snowy evenings.
Yeah, me too.
Yep, yep.
All right, winter entertainment. We got two more here. Two more segments. Classic Christmas movies or new holiday rom-com?
What is the new holiday rom-com? Is it like the Hallmark movies and stuff?
Just yeah, go with okay. rom-com. Just not even, this, take out the new. Just go with
not,
holiday rom-coms.
I take the easy. Classic Christmas.
Yep, classic.
Classics.
Yeah, okay, I was gonna say.
Rudolph and
Home Alone
vacation and
all right, ice hockey or figure skating?
Neither.
Neither.
Have you ever had skates on?
Yes. You have? Like I can
you,
ice
you
skate.
Can skate?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do that. But I think it's more figure skating than ice hockey.
Okay,
but
ice hockey or skating?
Skating.
Okay.
Maybe hockey if I had to choose one, but I'm not a big skates guy either.
Do you know how to skate?
I know. I've been on skates, yeah.
Well, I guess you're Montana. You should know how to skate.
I know how to skate, yeah.
I'm hockey. Shocker.
Shocker.
Reading a book by the fire or binge-watching holiday specials?
Reading a book by the fire.
Give me the binge-watching holiday specials.
I'm not a book reader.
Late into the night. Late into the night.
All right. Winter travel. Mountain cabin getaway? Or city winter festival?
I would have answered that completely differently before I moved to Minnesota, but now mountain cabin getaway. Mountain cabin. Give me the cabin.
David.
Mountain cabin getaway.
I'm not sure on this one, but I'd probably have to go with the mountain cabin getaway. All right. Tropical escape or snowy staycation? Well, we know Lisa's because she was already there.
Yeah, but like, I still prefer the snowy staycation, like really? For the real Christmas celebration. I don't know. I always, you know, like that's the children memories, you know, it's snowing, it's Christmas tree, and it's not celebrating Christmas at a beach. So I go with the snowy staycation.
If it's the mountain cabin getaway, give me the snowy staycation. If you're in the city, give me the tropical escape.
Okay. Yeah, that's good.
I'm more of the snowy staycation. Growing up, we never went anywhere.
Yep.
And always had had the snowy family Christmas. So that's mine. All right. Well, that wraps us up. Thanks, guys, for being on.
Yeah.
And
thank you. I guess we'll see you guys next time. And until then, take care.
Investing involves the risk of loss. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be regarded as personalized investment advice or relied upon for investment decisions. Jeremy Bryan, Tyler Ellegaard, Keith Gangle, Lisa Schreiber, and David Ama are employees of Gradient Investments, LLC, and may maintain positions in the securities discussed in this podcast. All opinions expressed by them and their guests are solely their own opinion and do not reflect the opinion of Gradient Investments, LLC. Please consult your independent investment advisor before making any investment decisions. The information herein is for informational purposes only and should not be used as the sole basis for making an investment decision. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. For more information, please request a copy of Gradient Investments ADV Part 2A. Gradient Investments LLC is an SEC registered investment advisor.